Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Temura Daf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin with the new perek, the sixth perek of Maseches Temura, at the Mishnah at the very top of Daf Chof Ches. Before we learn the Mishnah, let us glance on the outside margin where one of the features of the Shas Ozer, that's the Gemara that appears on your screen, we have topic headings and structural notes. Topic headings referred to by the term nosei, and structural notes referred to by the term mivneh that you'll find in the outside margin. In this case, our nosei topic heading reads, Ta'aroves Iser Im Korbonos, where a mixture between sacrifices and some forbidden item takes place. Isurim Shonim, Sha'oisim B'chol Shehen, we will talk about the different types of prohibited items that prohibit in a mixture, even if there's a very small amount of the prohibited item. Im nisarvu b'korbonos ha'oimdim likarev. What is the din if they get mixed up with sacrifices that are supposed to be offered? So now the Mishnah. Kol ha'asurim legabi mizbeach oisrim b'chol shehen. All those animals that are forbidden to offer as a sacrifice on the altar will create prohibition if they mix in with other animals. If we look at the Rashi at the top, Kol ha'asurim legabi mizbech oisrim b'chol shehen, afilu nisarvu echad be'elef. Even if one forbidden animal gets mixed up with 1,000 sacrifices, kulan asurim lemizbeach im eino nikar, they are all forbidden, even though the vast majority, the 1,000 heter ones, allowed ones, were destined to be sacrifices. They are all forbidden if you don't recognize the forbidden one. V'kulu mishkachas lehu, di'ein nikar, eino nikar. In all of the examples that the Mishnah will cite, you can actually have them as being unrecognizable. Avol trefa, the case of trefa, which is one of the items mentioned. Trefa is an animal with a type of limb deficiency. Lo mishkachas lo ela kedemoikim lo b'maseches vachem. The case of trefa getting mixed in with others, and then you say you cannot recognize it. That is a case, as it's set up in Maseches Zvochim, Perek Kol HaZvochim, in the chapter called Kol HaZvochim, Arvu. That's the name of the chapter there in Maseches Zvochim. Kegon Shinis Arva Drusas Hazeev Ben Akivas HaKoitz. A Drusas Hazeev is an animal that was attacked by a wolf, and the wolf deposits venom into the skin of the victim, in this case the sheep or the goat, and that venom eventually burns away and burns a hole into the animal's body, which is an example of what's called Drusa, is a type of trefa, and that gets mixed up with a Nikivas HaKoitz. Nikivas HaKoitz is an animal that was pricked by a thorn. Inami bevlad trefa v'livid belozer lo yikrav, or and we should mention before we go on that something pricked by a thorn does not make it into a trefa, so that you can have two animals, one penetrated by the claw of a wolf, which makes it into a trefa, versus something pricked by a thorn, which does not make it into a trefa, but you cannot identify which is which. Or you can have a situation of an offspring of a trefa animal, according to Rebbe Lozer, which is labeled forbidden, and if that gets mixed up with others, I won't be able to recognize it, because it looks like a totally fine animal. We continue now in the Mishnah. What the Mishnah gives us a list of forbidden items. Haroveya, an animal that was active in bestiality. Vanirba, or an animal that was passive in that context. Vamukze, something set aside for idolatry. Vanevad, an animal that was actually worshipped. something that was set aside for idolatry, we say set aside to be offered as a sacrifice to the idol. Nevad is an animal that was worshipped as an idol. V'esnan, this is an animal that was given to a harlot in payment for services. U'mechir, mechir is a case where an animal was exchanged for a dog. It's called mechir kelev. So the sheep that was used in for the purchase of a dog, that sheep is unfit to serve as a sacrifice. V'akilayim, an animal that is the product of mixed breeding, a sheep and a goat mated and produced this offspring called kilayim. Vatrefa, that we mentioned earlier, where the animal has a type of organ or limb deficiency. The yotzei dofen, or an animal delivered through cesarean birth. Now all of these are examples of things that would be forbidden to be brought as sacrifices. We're not saying that they're forbidden to eat as a mundane or a common type animal, but as a sacrifice they are forbidden. The Mishnah continues, Ezu mukta, what is meant by mukta? What is that? Ha mukta lavudis kechavim, hu asur, umash olav mutter. Something that was mukta means set aside for an idol. That type of animal is asur, but that which is on top of it is mutter, is allowed, is not considered forbidden. The ezehu ne'evad, what is ne'evad? Kol she'ovdin oisoi, animals that are worshipped. Hu umash olav asur. Here you see a distinction between the case of mukse and the nevad. In the case of nevad, something that was worshipped, that which is on the animal as well becomes forbidden. Vizeh vizeh muter b'achila. Both of these are allowed for personal consumption. The prohibition that we're discussing here is a prohibition to serve as a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. We have a little note on the inside margin to just draw your attention to the following, that on Daf Lamed Beis on the Beis, that's a mistake there. Lasim Lev is simply to pay attention that on Daf Chof Tes Omed Aleph, the Gemara will deal with Ezu Esnan. You'll see there the Mishnah deals with that. And on Lamed, Omed Aleph, the issue of Ezu Mechir Kelev is discussed. We continue now in the Gemara. Omar Mar, a quote from that which was mentioned above. Osrin Bekol Shehain. The Mishnah says that a mixture, even if there's a very small amount of prohibited substance, in this case a prohibited animal, will render unfit a very large collection of that which is otherwise mutter. That's oisrin b'kol shein. So the Gemara asks a question, my komash malon, de lo batli baruba, what are you telling me in this Mishnah, that it's not botel, it doesn't become void when you have a majority of permitted substance or permitted items? Tanina, that information has already been learned. That has already been taught. I don't need our Mishnah to tell me that these prohibited items will asir, will create prohibition, but kolshein, even a small amount of them. That information has already been taught. Now, you will notice that we have a bracketed section, and the length of the bracketed section is indicated by the bracket. Length indicator. You can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text a vertical dash dotted line. All of the lines opposite this marking are in brackets. Now, in this case, the brackets are not for the purpose of skipping, as ordinarily is the case with our bracket marking, but on the inside margin, you'll notice we have a note, Hasograyim Einom L'shem Dilug. The Sograyim, the brackets here, are not for the purpose of skipping, Elo Lahar Ois, but rather to show visually the Ikur HaSheva Hi Tanina, that the basic question has been already asked, namely, Tanina. The question is, what do I need our Mishnah for, Tanina? It has already been taught elsewhere. Lama li lemahader lemisni hocha. Why do I have to repeat something that was taught elsewhere over here? The inside the brackets, you'll have the background for where else this was in fact taught. But the question has been raised, and if you skip the bracketed section for a moment, you'll notice itzrich. The Gemara says, "I need our Mishnah as well." And then the Gemara will proceed. Why? Before going further as well in the Gemara, we have another structural note we want to pay attention to, and we have the diamond that is featured here, and on the inside, on the outside margin, you see a Mivne note with the diamond featured. Tanina, Signon She'ela, this is a style of question, Shechoizeres Ha'atzma, that will repeat itself. Loma Li, Kefil Mekoros La'osin, why do I have to have repeat sources for things that were taught elsewhere? So that's the style of the questions that we will see as the Gemara continues. Now, in the meantime, we're going back to the question of why is it necessary to have our Mishnah that teaches that these forbidden items will aser b'kolshu. They create prohibition even if they represent a very minor, small fraction of the mixture in which they are found. In this case, we're talking about prohibited animal mixed in with a large group of acceptable kosher sacrifices. So the Gemara, after asking Tanina, we've already learned this. And where have we learned it? So we have a Tanaic source. Before we go further, also let's point out we're going to read a Tanaic source that you find in a frame. The Gemara will ask on the language of this source and then present the rereading of it, and that essentially will represent our question when we reread the Tanaic source that we're about to see now. So the Gemara says, well, we have learned kol hakoshim shenisarvu b'chatos mesos o b'shor haniskal. Sacrifices, animals designated to be offered as korbonos, that shenis arvu, that got mixed up, bechatos mesos, that got mixed up with chatos, sin offerings that were destined to die. We've learned about this extensively. We've seen the chamesh chatos hamesos, examples of sin offerings that are ruled by halacha l'moshim yisim die. For example, if a person had set aside a korban chatos and he achieved his atonement through an alternative animal, so the original one, when found, is set aside to die. Just one example. So it says in this source that sacrifices that got mixed up with chatos hamesos or b'shor haniskal, or shor haniskal is an animal, let's say an ox that killed, that gored someone to death. That animal is ruled, is sentenced to the death penalty. It's called shor haniskal. Niskal means stoned. Such an animal is forbidden to be brought as a sacrifice. Afilu echot b'riboy yomusu. Even one in ribo means 10,000. That they shall die. Now, here, on the surface, we see here this example of one in 10,000 and the whole group is usur. The only thing is, a problem here is a technical problem. In reading the source, what we're really saying is that if kol hakochim at the beginning of this source has said any sacrifice that gets mixed up bichatos mesos, that means in a large group of forbidden sin offerings or a large group of animals sentenced to die, even, and then it said afilo, even one kosher animal amongst 10,000 forbidden animals. The kashyolon, and we ask, now that's a little strange, that what's the big deal, what's the big news over there? If you have one kosher and 10,000 forbidden ones, of course they're all going to go die. Of course they're forbidden. My afilu de ka'amar, what is the role of the word afilu in this case? The way we read it, we were reading that one kosher gets mixed up even in 10,000 forbidden ones. Well, that's fairly obvious. Umishaninon, and we answer Hochi Kotoni. The more accurate reading of that source is as follows: Nisarvu bohen mei chatos mesos o shor niskal. They got mixed up in a group of sacrifices, not one sacrifice, but in a large group of sacrifices. One of these forbidden things got mixed in, either chatos hamesos or shor haniskal. Afilu echod. Beribo Yomusu, even one of the forbidden ones in 10,000 kosher ones, they are all to die. Anyway, that's the point. We see here that a minor, an extreme minority of that which is forbidden prohibits a vast majority of those that were allowed. So, that being said, we learned this already in a Mishnah in Maseches Zvachim. What do I need our Mishnah here in Maseches Tumura to tell me the same thing for? That is redundant. Itzterich, I need the extra source. Sa'kadei techamina, hosam hu de isurei hano. Had I had only the Mishnah in Zvachim, I would have said, well, the examples given there were animals, the prohibited animals were animals that were forbidden not only to serve as sacrifices, but forbidden for the owner to benefit from as well. That's called Isur Hanoh. Shor HaNiskal and Chatos HaMesis are examples of Isuri HaNoh. So they are potent. They would be able to create a prohibition on a large group of allowed animals. Aval Hocha Delav Isuri HaNoh. But in our Mishnah, for example, the Roveah and the Nirba, those are examples of animals that we will see later. Rashi mentions we don't have two witnesses that testified. They have one witness that testified to the forbidden acts. Hence, they are not osir bahanah. They are not sentenced to death. They are simply rendered unfit as sacrifices. So, since they are not isuri hanah, our Mishnah then that has examples of things that are not osir hanah. For example, some of them are more obvious even. You have the yotzei dofen, an animal delivered through cesarean birth. There's nothing wrong with it as far as you're personally benefiting from it. It's on a technicality. It's forbidden to serve as a sacrifice. However, if one of those gets mixed up with a large number of kosher sacrifices, Amal, the Gemara goes on to say, Amal, I would have thought, lived to the Ruba, that they would be voided in a majority of allowed of kosher korbanas. Komash Malon, hence we have our Mishnah to say that even things that are not osir banal, even animals that are not forbidden to benefit from, they're simply forbidden as sacrifices, which has higher level requirements, even though they are of a, we'll say, lower level of potency, they still create a prohibition in a mixture of kosher animals. Even if there's a vast majority of kosher animals, they're all forbidden. The Gemara asks, V'roveya v'nirba nami tanino. We have in our Mishnah a reference to the animals involved with bestiality. Either the animal is active or passive, but either way, it's forbidden as a sacrifice. But, well, that has been taught elsewhere. Tanino, that has been taught in the following Tanaic source, which again you can see in a frame, and it's found in Maseches Zvochim. Nisarvu Beroveya Venirba, Yiru Achistavu, Vi Mochru, Viovi, Bidmei, Hayofe, Shibahen, Me Oisohamin. If sacrifices got mixed up with Roveya Venirba, so they are sent out, all of them are sent out to graze till they develop a blemish. At that point, whereas an animal designated as a sacrifice cannot be redeemed nor sold as long as it's unblemished. But once it develops a blemish, you can then sell it, or that's called redeeming it. And then you will choose the nicest one, the most expensive one, and use the money that you get from that nicest one and bring sacrifice from that. The point is, we see here that Rovea and Nirba create prohibition when mixed with others. So, what do I need our Mishnah to specify Rovea and Nirba? Omar Rav Kahana. Amrisa Lishmaitza Kameda Rav Simi Bar Ashi. Rav Kahana said, I said this over to Rav Simi. Omar Lee and Rav Simi answered, why is it that I need two references to Rovea and Nirba as being sources of prohibition? Chado Bechulin, Vechado Bekotchim. Our Mishnah is a case where Bechulin means they got mixed up, the Rovea Nirba got mixed up when the animal was still, when the animals were not sanctified. It was a Taroves with Chulin. And then they were sanctified. And Vechado, the other source, the source in Sevochim, Bekotchim. The Rovea Nirba got mixed up with animals that were already sanctified. Utsrichi, and I need to be taught these two cases. One case is where the mixture took place when they were still unsanctified, and then subsequently sanctified, and the case of mixed in, where the Rovea Venirba got mixed in when with animals that were already sanctified. De'i Ashme'inen, Gabi Kochim, had we taught just the case of animals that were already sanctified when the mixture took place, Mishum de Me'isi, because they are considered, the Rovea Nirba are considered disgusting, disgusting, reprehensible when you're dealing with the context of things that are sanctified. Aval Gabi Chulin Emo Liftali, where the mixture took place when they were still Chulin, so that at the time they got mixed in, you don't have this mo'us factor, this disgusting factor, because you're dealing with common animals. Therefore, I would have thought Ema Liftali, there would be a bittle, a voiding in the face of the majority. Therefore, I need to teach that the extra Mishnah, our Mishnah, if you will, that even where the Tarobas takes place, where the initial mixture takes place when they were not sanctified yet, that still creates prohibition. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Chado b'chulin, in the lower part of the narrow lines, Masnisin dehocha mayri, our Mishnah here is speaking about b'nis arvu k'shem chulin, where the mixture of the rovea got mixed in with a group of other animals when they were still chulin, v'achar kach hikdishan, and then he sanctified the group of animals, and then it became known that one of them was rovea or nirba. And we say that the whole group is forbidden. V'ahi, the Zvochim Mayri, the case of Masech Zvochim, is speaking this Arvu K'shem Kedoshim. The mixture took place when the animals were already sanctified. The Rovea and Nirba got mixed in with animals that were already sanctified. The Hosam Kotoni, there, the language is Kol HaZvochim. Here, we don't see that expression. Zvochim was a reference to sacrifices. Rashi continues, Aval Hocha, Gabi Chulin, Delo Mi'isi B'Shaz Taroves, where the mixture took place, where at the time we don't have the Mo'us consideration because you're not dealing with sacrifices at the time the mixture took place. Delo Shaykh Pu Chelik Gavoa, none of the animals at that point were destined for the Almighty. Emo Liv Tilon. We'll say, let us say, this is the theory would have been that it would be voided. And when he sanctifies the group of animals, the sanctification would be a good sanctification. Because the Isser, the prohibition has already been voided. And therefore they should all be able to be offered. Komash Malon, that's what I need our Mishnah to tell me, that even so, it's not voided. Now, we just got finished saying that one of the two sources involving the mixture of Rovea Nirba was to teach the case of the mixture in the case of Chulin, where an animal who was participant in bestiality got mixed up with other common animals, and then he sanctified them. But the Gemara now asks, Ube Chulin Nami Tanina. But with regard to the example of a Chulin mixture, that also has been taught already. So once again, the question is, what will I need our Mishnah for when we have another source that teaches the same point? So we see a framed section. This will be a Tanaic source in which this will come up, and the Gemara will point out that at the end of this source, if you skip to the right after the frame, you see Utsrichi. I still need all my sources. So the Gemara asks, well, once again, Bechulinami Tanina, the Elu Asurin the Oisrin Bekol Shehein, a mixture of prohibited in allowed substances, and we're saying the following list of things will create prohibition even if they are kol shehein, which means a very small amount. And the list is yayin nesech, this is wine that was used in idolatry, vavudas kechovim, something that was an idol, the tzipore mitzora, these are birds used in the purification of someone who had experienced tzora'as, the oiros levuvin, this is a skin that's we'll simply say in general terms, part of an idolatrous ceremony. The Seor Nozir, the hair that's cut from the head of someone who finished his Nozir period. Upeter Chamor, a firstborn unredeemed donkey. Ubosir Becholov, some milk and meat that were cooked together. The Shor Haniskal, which we saw earlier, an ox that had killed someone and was sentenced to death. The Eglo Arufa, this is the calf that is used in the atonement process when a murder victim is found between two cities. V'chulin shenishchatu ba'azora, or animal, common meat that was common animals, common meat that was slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash courtyard. V'soyer hamishtaleach, the goat that is sent away on Yom Kippur to the cliff for atoning for the sins of Israel. All of these examples, harei elu asurin v'oisrin b'kol shein, any of these things, all of these things are forbidden, and if they are in a mixture of something else that's allowed, and you can't identify it, they will asur it, they will create a prohibition, even if there's a much larger amount of allowed substance. So once again, we see that even in the realm of chulin mixtures, we have isur even if it's b'kol shehu. So what do I need to be told that Dvorim Ho'asurim will aser in a case of a chulin mixture through our Mishnah of Tmura when we already have this other Tanaic source? Before we go further, Rashi explains the question in a succinct fashion. We're looking at Rashi on the third line under the Gemara text. Ubechulin nami tanino, da afilu bechulin mamish. Even if you have a straight out chulin mixture, lo batli berubo, there is no voiding or cancellation in a majority of allowed substance. What's not batli berubo? Bale chayim, animals, v'kol hanoch the chashibi, and all other things that have significance. So the question has been asked, now the answer. Tzrichi, I need both sources. The E Ashmin and Hossam, had I taught the source we just read. Now we're going to follow the gears of the text that you see referenced by the star, and that's on the outside part of the page where we've underlined Dilahedyot. There, the consideration, the mixtures referred to in this most recent Tanaic source were mixtures that were relevant to common use, the common person. Avot l'gavoa. However, when it comes to something of a divine nature, for example, sacrifices, emo lo nafsidinu l'kulu, let us not cause all to be lost. In other words, let us not throw out the whole mixture. And since our Mishnah represents a case of something, the mixture took place when they were chulin, but you then sanctified them, so maybe we should preserve them and allow the bittul, cancellation, or voiding to take place. V'yashmin and hocha, had we taught our case here, d'legavoa, why here is there no voiding of the minority amount of prohibition? Because we're talking about something that will be offered heavenwards. Demois, and in such a context we say it is disgusting. Avo lehedyot, emo afilu isure hano, liftilu buruba. When it comes to something that's of a purely common need, nothing to do with a heavenly consideration, maybe under such circumstances we would say there is voiding in the majority. Komash Malan, that therefore I need to teach both cases that there is no voiding. Now, the Gemara goes on to a new discussion, and on the outside margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading, Mekoros le'isurei mizbeach, sources for those things that are forbidden to be offered as sacrifices. We'll discuss Rovea Nirba, Nevad, and Mukse. By way of structural notes, we have some new markings that come up, some new geometric forms, and they are explained under our Mivneh heading. So the first note here is a triangle with a Roman numeral number 1 and 2. So in order to see that, first of all, in the Gemara text you see the Tonu Rabbanan in a triangle, and to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text you'll notice a little 1 in a triangle, and also under that there's an indication number 2, Roman number 2, will be on Omid Beis. These represent Shnei Mekoros Lahotzi Rovea Venirba, two sources through which we exclude from acceptability the animal's participant in bestiality. Additionally, we have a bow tie that will appear. The bow tie is around Kit'ei Posuk Shenidrishu Lios Mokor Leiser. Different sections of the Posuk that will be darshaned to serve as a source for that which is forbidden. Now, we mentioned a pasuk. We have included the pasuk on the inside margin, Vayikra, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Beis, where we have written, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yamarta lehem, Odom ki akriv mikem korban Hashem, min ha-behemo, min ha-bokor, u-min ha-tzoin, takrivu es korban chem. And you notice the bow tie features min ha-behemo. That's found in the pasuk we just read. The next bow tie you will notice on Omid Beis around the expression min habokar, also in the pasuk, and later on that Omid you'll see min hatzon, also in that pasuk. And we also are using a number scheme to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara. The number one you can see in a bow tie, so that you can see at what point the Gemara will darshan each respective section of the pasuk. So the first installment is here. Number two, if you just continue skimming down that right-hand side of the Gemara text onto Amud Beis, you'll see number two and number three further down. In addition to that, we have used a double underline featuring the expression lahotzi, and the three dots indicate lahotzi means to exclude, well, whatever. So after the first bow tie in Abahema is lahotzi rovei abanirba. That's going to source to exclude animals that were participant in bestiality. When you go to Omid Beis, you see the next bow tie, the number two bow tie, min habokor, and there we've double underlined lahotzi es hanevad. Min habokor serves as the source of excluding an animal worshipped. And the number three bow tie, min hatzon, and the double underline there emphasizes lahotzi es hamukze and lahotzi es hanogeach, which is learned from the vav in the posuk u min hatzon. Now the Gemara. Minolon, we're asking here, v'roveh v'nirba minolon de asiri legavoah. From where do we know that roveh and nirba are forbidden? The Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, and as we said, this is Roman numeral number 1, the first attempt at showing from where we know Roveya and Nirba are prohibited. When you get to Amud Beis, if you can scroll ahead, you see the triangle to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a number, Roman number 2 in it, a little more than halfway down the page. There, the Gemara says, V'hai Tana Maisi Lo Mehocha. The following Tana, a Tanaic source, brings or derives the Isser of Roveh v'Nirba from another source. So this is our first approach. The Gemara says, Min HaBehema, from the Pasuk that we cited earlier, Vayikra, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Beis, Lahotzi Roveh v'Nirba. This Min HaBehema, the Pasuk says, as we had seen already, Odom Ki Akriv Mikem, Korban Hashem, when a person brings a korban, min habehemah, he chooses from the realm of animals. From, meaning part of them are acceptable, some are not. And what's not acceptable? Roveh v'nirba. Well, v'halo dinhu, what do I need a posuk for? Even without a posuk, I could know that they are forbidden, roveh v'nirba. And here we have another marking scheme. You see a house form. This house shape with the point of the roof facing up. This will be an attempt to show that you don't need the pasuk. You'll see then later the house form flips over with the point facing down, at which point the Braisa will be showing how I really do need the pasuk. And this scheme continues back and forth. Each time the house repositions itself, so on the outside margin under our Mivne heading, the house is featured, and we call this a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. And with the point facing up, these are nisyonos lomar de ein soch kro kedela, so that you don't need the pasuk to prohibit a roveh nearby. I could figure it out on my own. And with the house form flipped over, chuvos lahanav lochein boi kra. There'll be responses to each argument, and as a result of that, I will be showing you how I really do need the pasuk. So our source continues arguing right now, valo dinhu, through logic, I can accomplish or I can achieve the understanding that roveh nirba are excluded, and what will I need min habehema for? And what's the logic? Uma balmum shalonis avdo bo avero. Mind you, a blemished animal. It's blemished. It wasn't participant in a sin. And yet, posel agabi mizbeach, it's forbidden to be offered as a sacrifice. That's the case of a blemished animal. Rovea venirba, shenev dovan avero. Animals that were participant in bestiality, where a sin was done with them, eino din sheasurin legabei mizbeach, then all the more so, if a baal mum is aser, then certainly rovea venirba will be aser. So what do I need the pasuk for? I don't need to use scriptural power when logic can accomplish the same goal. The Gemara responds, I'll tell you why I need the pasuk. Chayresh b'shor v'chamor yochiach. Imagine someone used an ox, which is a kosher variety animal, something that's useful that could be brought as a sacrifice, but he used it in plowing together with a donkey. Now there's an isser, there's a prohibition in plowing with two different species of animals at the same time. That's called, it's in the realm of isser kilayim. Now, that's called choresh, plowing, b'shor v'chamor, can prove why in the case of Rovea Nirba I'll need a pasuk. She nisav de bo avera. Those are examples. Let's say that animal, the cow or the ox that was used together with the donkey, an avera was done with it. That's parallel to the case of bestiality, which is a sin. And yet, umuter legabi mizbeach. The animal, the ox used in a kilayim plowing situation, is kosher as a sacrifice. So therefore, I have things that I have a precedent. I have precedent for saying something used in sin is still kosher as a sacrifice. So therefore, the animal involved with the bestiality should be kosher as a sacrifice. And if you want to tell me no, that I will learn from the pasuk min habehema. The Gemara responds, you can't use choresh v'shor v'chamor as an argument. Ma l'choresh v'shor v'chamor she'ein chayovin misa. If one violates the prohibition of plowing with unlike species simultaneously, it might be a violation, but it's not guilty of a death penalty. A person who experiences bestiality with an animal, that is punishable by court-inflicted death. It's a very serious offense. And as such, I would come back and say, I don't see why I need a pasuk to tell me that a rovea venirba are forbidden as a sacrifice when it would appear to be very obvious. Tul loch loch mashevesa. What you just tried to argue is not really an argument. Literally, take what you brought. Hare shinis avdo bohen avera b'shnei edim. The case of bestiality, as you're trying to argue, doesn't need a pasuk because of the death penalty associated with it. That's fine and good when you have two witnesses that could testify that such an event took place, the bestiality. Nevdo bohen avera al pi edechor al pi abaylem minayin. From where would you know that an animal involved with bestiality, but only witnessed by a singular witness, or the owner comes and tells us this information? From where would you know that that kind of animal is forbidden as a sacrifice? So for that, I would need the pasuk. Omar Rebbe Shimon, ani don. I'm going to argue that you really don't need the pasuk, and I'm going to advance the following logic. Uma balmum she'ein hasras shnei edim posalto me'achila. Hoidas aid echod posalto me'akrova. Mind you, in the case of a blemished animal, where two witnesses who would testify about the blemish would not create it being usur to eat. It's usur, it wouldn't be forbidden to be used as common meat. And yet one witness, a chocham, a sage who rules concerning blemishes, his word would be enough to render it unfit as a sacrifice. So we have a certain perspective on Baal Mum that two witnesses would not create prohibition from eating. One witness, the sage who paskins, who rules on blemishes, will passel it, will rule it unfit as a sacrifice. But Roveh v'nirbash hodas shnei edim posaldu me'achila. Roveh v'nirbash is more serious in so far as that two witnesses who would testify about an act of bestiality will cause it to be also forbidden to eat. That animal is chayav skills, chayav a death penalty. Eino din shodas ed echad posaldu me'akrova. Then all the more so, the testimony of one witness should be sufficient to ban it from being offered. So, with this piece of logic, I would see that I really don't need the pasuk. I can make this type of kal v'chomer from Baal Mum. Talmud loymar min habehemo lahotzi rove avenir bana. This line is very hard to understand. Why is the Brisa offering the pasuk to exclude Rovei Avenir Ban? Here you have a bracketed section where the Gemara interrupts and raises this very question. Vo Asya Medina. Well, I just learned it from a pasuk. What do I need the pasuk for? Asya Medina means it can be derived through logic, as we did. I don't need Min HaBehema. Omar Ravashi Mishum de Ikola Meimar Me Ikora de Dino Pircha. So Ravashi points out, because it can be said that the basis of this kal v'chomer has a pircha, has a weakness to it that can be asked on. And here the Brisa goes on to show Ma le Baal Mum, you can't learn from Baal Mum to the case of Rov v'nirba. Shekein Mumo Nikr, its deficiency is something that's obvious. So something like that I can see is banned as a sacrifice. Taimar b'rove avenir b'ashe mumo nikr, its problem is not something that's clearly visible. Hayol v'ein mumo nikr, since its deficiency, its blemish is not visible. Yehei kosher l'gabi mizbech. Well, maybe rove avenir b'ashe would be acceptable as a sacrifice. Talmud lomar min abehimo l'hotzi rove avenir b'ashe. Therefore, I need the pasuk. So at the end of the day, I really do need the pasuk. And if you were following our markings with the house flipping back and forth, we had mentioned earlier with the roof facing up, the point facing up, we said this was an attempt to argue that you don't need the pasuk of Min HaBehema to exclude Rove v'nirba. And when the house flipped over, we would be pointing out that the exclusion of Rove v'nirba is dependent on a scriptural reference, and that's the way this section ends off. The last house to be seen here was with the roof facing downwards. Now we go to the next issue, Min HaBokor Lahotzi Es HaNevad. As we said, this is a second quote from the Pasuk in Vayikra Aleph Perek Aleph Pasuk Beis. What does Min HaBokor tell me? It says you bring your sacrifice from the cattle, from but not all of them. Lahotzi, to exclude, as a nevad, an animal that was worshipped as an idol. Once again, we'll use the same house scheme to indicate, do I really need a pasuk? Couldn't I figure it out on my own? And then when the house flips over, we'll be saying, yes, I really do need the pasuk. So we argue. Vahalo dinhu. Is it not something that could be derived through logic that a nevad will be forbidden as a sacrifice? And through logic, I can achieve that. What do I need the pasuk for? What will the role of Min HaBokor be? Now, here's how the logic goes. Oma esnanu mechir shetzipuyon mutorin. Hein asurin. Esnan and mechir are animals. The esnan is an animal given to a harlot for services. And the mechir is an animal that was exchanged for a dog. Shetzipuyon mutorin. That which is on them, the coating them. If you have a garment that's on an animal that was given to the zona as payment for services, to the harlot for payment for services, or the dog that was used in an exchange for a sheep, and the sheep happened to have a garment on it, or a coating. So we say that the coating, the mutarin, hein asurin, they themselves, the animals themselves, are usur. Nevat shetzipuyo aser enodin shehu aser. The nevat, the animal worshipped as a sacrifice, as an idol, where its coating is also forbidden. So certainly it will be forbidden as a sacrifice. So at this point then, wouldn't the prohibition of Nevad be derived from Esnan through logic? The Gemara responds, Oy Chiluf. I could argue to the contrary. And as a result of this other form of argument, if I didn't have the Pasuk, I wouldn't know to exclude Ne'evad. And what's the opposite logic? Uma Esnan u'mechir shehein asurin. Mind you, Esnan u'mechir, which are the things that are asur as sacrifices, Tzipuyehen mutarin, their coating is allowed, is kosher to be used in the Beis HaMikdash. Ne'evad shemutar einodin shiehe tzipuyo mutar. Now, when it says here, Ne'evad Shemutar, we're telling you that at this point, we don't really have a source. We don't have a clear source that Ne'evad is forbidden as a sacrifice. Rash, the Rabbeinu Gershom, across from here, where you notice a little star, he says, Ne'evad Shemutar l'mizbeach shelo motzinu she'osur beferish min haTorah. We don't have a beferish iser, so I can argue like this. I can say, using this logic, and then I would end up saying that then certainly its tzipui will be mutter. If in the case of Esnan, where the animal itself is forbidden as a sacrifice, but the tzipui, that which is on it, is mutter, the Ne'evad, which is mutter as a sacrifice, because we don't have a source that says it's usher, we don't have something explicit, as the Rabbeinu Gershom says, we don't have some... So maybe the purpose of the argument would be to lead us to a conclusion that the tzipui of Ne'evad should certainly be mutter. Well, im kain, if you would argue like that, then bitalta, you are rendering of no use a pasuk which says lo sachmoy kesev zov aleim v'lokach loch, that you shall not desire the gold and silver on idols. The pasuk is referring to idols, and you shall not take it for yourself. In other words, the tzipui of idols is aser. So I can't argue this o chiluf approach. We continue. Ani akaimenu. The response to this is, I will maintain this pasuk of lo sachmod and still argue as follows: loy sachmod kesef izov alehem, the prohibition of the coating on idols, b'dover she'en bo ruach chayim. That's with regard to inanimate objects. Aval b'dover she'esh bo ruach chayim, things that have life, the life breath to them, for example, animals. Hoyol v'hu mutter, yehoi tzipuyo mutter. Since it is mutter, I can argue that the coating is mutter. And we say, since it is mutter, we're suggesting it might be mutter the Baal Chai might be mutter even as a sacrifice. Being that that's the case, the tzipui should also be mutter. Now, as a result of all of this logic, we're leading up to the point then that if you want to tell me that Ne'evad is usher, you're going to have to use a pasuk. Talmud Lomar, min habokor, lahotzi es ha-Ne'evad. Therefore, I need the pasuk to exclude Ne'evad. Without the pasuk, I would not have known that Ne'evad is usher. Maskif lo Rav Hananya. Rav Hananya raises an objection. You can see that we have a question here that lasts a few lines by looking at the immediate right-hand side of the word text, the kuf, which is encircled, and a descending vertical dashed line indicating that all of these lines form the question. Maskiflo Rav Hananya Taimo Dimate Kro. The reason that Ne'evad, an animal worshipped, is forbidden is because the Pasuk excludes it as a sacrifice. Halo Mate Kro. Had I not had the Pasuk, Tzipui Mutar, would you really have thought that the coating of an idol would be mutter. So, how do I know that the tzipui is usur? Because I have a pasuk that excluded it, that forbade it. If not for that, I would have thought that the tzipui is mutar, v'hoksi, but is there not another pasuk that says, v'ibadetem eshmom, you shall destroy their name, kol ha'asu l'shmom, anything made for them, including that which coats the idol. The Gemara continues, Hahu, the Pasuk Vibadetem Eshmom, that would not have excluded the Tzipui. Hahu, the Chanois Lohem Shem Huda Asa. The role of that Pasuk is to teach us that you shall use change the name of idols, an idol, something that's worshipped that may have an official name to it. You shall change the name and refer to it in a derisive fashion. And examples are the base Galya. The word Galya means something that is high, and that's the name of an idol, a place of idol worship, base Galya. Karinon, also we would call it base Karya. Base Karya is an expression of a bathroom. As opposed to something of honor, you call it a bathroom. Pene HaMolech, the idol is called Molech, so refer to it as Pene Kelev, the face of a dog. Ayin Kol is the name of an idol. So you are to refer to it as Ayin Kotz. Kotz is a thorn, the eye of the thorn. So as far as the need to have the posuk of Lo Sachmo Kesef Zov Aleim V'lo Kach Delach to tell me that the Tzipui is Usur, I wouldn't have known that from the pasuk of Vibadetem es Shemom. The Gemara asks, V'epuch ano. We had so far two sources that we featured with bow ties. We had Min HaBehema, which excludes Reve V'nirba, and Min HaBoker, which excludes the Nevad. Why not switch these around? The Epochano, switch them around and say, Mina Behema Lahosias Hanevad, and Mina Bokor Lahosi Rovea Venirba. The Gemara answers, Hosam Me'inyona de Kro. You have to look at the context of the Psukim, and you'll see why we attached the Minha Behema to exclude Rove Venirba, and Boker to exclude the Nevad. So the Gemara goes on, Gabi Behema V'ish Ki Tein Shchavto B'Behema Mos Yuvos. So you see, the Pasuk referring to bestiality uses the word Behema in it. So when the Pasuk says Minha Behema, that will exclude an example of bestiality. Gabi Boker Ksiv V'yomiru Es Kavodam B'Tavnis Shor Oichel Esev. Now, this Pasuk refers to idolatry. So it says that, and in this Pasuk referring to idolatry, the word shor appears. Now shor is an example of boker. Boker being cattle, as opposed to sheep and goats, which you would not use the term cattle in reference to. But shor is an example of boker, so that in the context of idolatry, you see boker referred to through the word shor. That substantiates why Min HaBoker excludes the Neva, the worshipped animal. Min HaTzon. And this you can see is number 3. Lehotzi Es HaMukza. So from the Min HaTzon part of the Pasuk, we learn to exclude Mukza, something that was set aside to serve as an offering, a sacrifice to an idol. In the Pasuk, there is a vav attached to the word min, umin hatzon. From this we learn, lehoitzia es hanogeach, to exclude an animal that has gored. Omar Rabbi Shimon, in Nemar Roveah Loma Nemar Nogeach, if the Pasuk excludes Roveah, what is the necessity of teaching Nogeach as being something unfit as a sacrifice? The Rashi explains this question as follows. Im Nemar Roveah, de Osur Lahakrova, an animal used in bestiality is forbidden to serve as a sacrifice. Velo Shneim Shovin, both the goring animal, the animal that killed someone, and the animal used in bestiality are the same. In what sense? Dim hoyu shnei edim badavar, if there were two witnesses for either of these acts, shnehem niskolim, both animals would be subject to stoning, a death penalty. So tell me one, would I not been able to have figured out the other as being unfit as a sacrifice? So let's continue. V'im ne'emar nogeach, and if I would have a source for nogeach as being unfit as a sacrifice, lama ne'emar roveah, so why do I have to be told the roveah? So the Brisa answers, l'fi sheyesh b'roveah ma she'ein kein b'nogeach, v'yesh b'nogeach ma she'ein kein b'roveah. Each one has a characteristic that the other does not have, and hence, with having been told only one, I would not be able to figure out the other. Yesh b'roveah sheharoveah oisa oynes kerotzon mash'ein kein b'nogeach. In the case of roveah, it becomes unfit whether the animal was participant in roveah knowingly or even by force, by ones, which is not the case of nogeach. If an animal was incited to kill someone against its own will, in other words, the animal didn't initiate it, but it was forced into killing someone, that would not render it unfit. V'yesh b'nogeach, sh'anogeach m'shalim es ha'kofer. Nogeach, when we say unfit, we should point out that it wouldn't be subject to a death penalty if the animal committed the act of nogeach by force. Let us glance at the Rashi. Im Nema Rovea, Rashi says, the Osir Lahakrova, had the Torah told me that how Rovea's Osir is forbidden as a sacrifice, Valo Shneim Shovin, the Im Hoyu Shnei Eidim Badover Shneim Niskolim. This Rashi we pointed out before. Rashi continues, Nogeach Lo Osova Oines Karatzon, the Inyan Skila. With regard to a death penalty, the case of a murderous animal is not treated the same whether it was Oines or Ratzon. Shorhit Stadin, this is an animal that you find in a bullfight. Stadin is a stadium. Eino Chayov Skila, Shinemar Shor Kiigach, Lo Shi Yagihu Achirim. When is an animal subject to death penalty? When it initiated the murder, the killing of a person, but not if it's incited by others to do it. Now, that is we'll call it a leniency with regard to Roveah that you don't find by the bestiality. The Gemara continues where we've underlined Yesh Benogeach, where the Beis appears that we've written in, V'yesh Benogeach. The Nogeach has an element, Shanogeach, Mishalim as a Kofer. When it kills, it also, there is money paid, there's compensation paid to the family of the victim. So that even though it's killed, even though the animal is killed, there's an additional penalty that the owner experiences and that he has to pay. Masha Enkein Berovea. Now the Shita Mekubetzes adds a few words in the Os Ches. Reading from the Shita Gumbetzis where we've underlined, it says, Mipnei Shiesh Berovea Ma She'ein Kein Benogeach, Ubenogeach Ma She'ein Kein Berovea, since each one has a characteristic that the other does not have. Hutzruch, we go back to our Gemara, Hutzruch Loimar Rovea, Vahutzruch Loimar Nogeach. With that, you see we end this framed section. Therefore, since each had an element that the other didn't have, the Torah has to give us sources for Roveah as being unfit as a sacrifice, and for Nogeach as being unfit as a sacrifice. Now, as we mentioned in our earlier remarks regarding Gemara structure, the triangle appears and a Roman numeral number 2 as well to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. This represents a second approach to showing how Roveah and Nirba are Osir Lagava, are forbidden as sacrifices. The High Tana Maisi Law Mehocha. The following source brings proves the prohibition of Roveah and Nirba from a different pasuk. Disanya Haroveah Vanirba Haim Kikochim Shikidam Mum Over Lehekdeshan. These are like sacrifices that a mum over, a transitory or a temporary blemish, preceded their sanctification. Utsrichin mum kavua liftois alehen. And they need a permanent mum to justify their redemption. Shenemar ki moshchosom bohem mum bom. That is the pasuk cited for this point. However, the Gemara asks, "My Talmuda, how do you see this law in this particular pasuk?" Chisurei mechasra v'hochi kotoni. There are missing words, and it's really taught as follows. The following is the re-understanding of what we just had. Minayin shehein asurin. From where do I know that Roveah and Nirba are osir as sacrifices? Tamud lomar ki moshchoson bohem mum bom. V'tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, kol mokom shenema hashchosa, where you see the term hashchosa, like we have in this pasuk moshchosam, where you see this word, eino elo devar erva v'avodes kechovim. This is a word referring to either Devar erva, immorality, as is the case with bestiality, or idolatry. And we go to show that now. Devar erva d'chtiv, the issue of immorality and this word moshchosam or hashchosa is found d'chtiv ki hishchis kol basar. In the story involving the flood in Sefer Bereishis, they were engaged in immorality, and it says hishchis. Avodas kochavim dichtiv pen tashchisun v'asisem lachem pesel tmunas kol semel. This word, you see, tashchisun also. This pasuk is a reference to idolatry, and we learn kol shamum poisel boi devar erva v'avodas kochavim poslin bohem. Anything that a mum will render unfit, so too immorality or idolatry will render unfit. Now, we know that blemishes render as unfit things designed for sacrifices. So since sacrifices are sensitive to mumin, to blemishes, they are also sensitive to immorality and idolatry. So, we said at the point in the Gemara where we introduced the Roman number 2 and the triangle that Roveah Nirba have an alternative source for prohibition, and that is learned from the last section of Gemara that we had. In other words, the pasuk says ki moshchosam bohem mum bom. From this pasuk we see a relationship between mum and hashchosa, things that are prohibited by virtue of their being blemished, and sacrifices are affected by a blemish, so too sacrifices will be affected by idolatry and by bestiality or immorality. That being said, we now make reference to these two scriptural references by asking V'tonu de Bei Rishmuel, who was the second triangle. He was the number 2 source. Min habehemo, min habokor umin hatzon, my dorish behu. What does the number 2 opinion do with the pasuk cited in Roman numeral number 1, which was min habehemo min habokor, which from that we learned to exclude the Roveah and Nirba in source number 1 on Amud Aleph? Answer, Miboy Alei, the Tanur of Shmuel needs it, Prat L'chayla Zokein U'mezuham, to exclude a sickly animal from sacrifices, a Zokein, an aged animal, and a Mezuham. Rashi explains Mezuham, Shemotzi Zeya U'matzriach, it's a very sweaty and odoriferous animal. The Tanakamo de Afkinhu Lahani Kroy Lurveva Nirba, the first approach, which used Minha Behemo Minabokur Minatzon to exclude Rovea Nirba, Chayla Zokin Mizuam Minole, where will source 1 learn the exclusion of Chayla Zokin and Mizuam? Answer, Nafgale, he will learn it from a different pasuk. This is in Vayikra Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud, which says, Min Hatzon, Min Hakivosim, Oi Min Ho'izim. So that will serve as the source to ban Chayla Zokein Emezuam for approach number 1. Ulatona de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, Urche de Kro Lishtuye Hachi. Tona Rabbi Shmuel does not see anything special in this new Pasuk, in so far as he feels that this is the style, urcha means the derech, the regular way for psukim to speak, to say minha. When it says minha tzon, it specifies minha kvosim u'minha izim, but they're not there to teach me the exclusion of something additional. Therefore, Tana debate Rabbi Shmuel, in order to exclude zokein or chayla zokein mizuam, he will need Vayikra Aleph Pasuk Beis for that purpose. Ezehu Mukze Hamukze Levedis Gechavim. Omar Reish Lakish. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the Nosei Isur Mukze LeMizbeach. The Gemara will focus on Mukze as being prohibited as a sacrifice. We'll be focusing on animals set aside for as an offering to an idol. Here the Gemara, Omer Reish Lakish in our Gemara says, Ein muktze oser, ela muktze l'sheva shanim. That which is designated as a sacrifice to an idol is only something that has been designated for 7 years. Rashi says, L'sheva shanim, shehukta ad l'sheva shanim, it's been set aside for up till 7 years. Ubesof sheva shanim yakrivuhu l'avodis kechavim. And after 7 years, it will then be offered as an idol, as a sacrifice to an idol. The hachi havi muktze. Through that, it becomes muktze. So it would have to be something that's designated for being offered after 7 years. Now, how does Reish Lakish know that? Shenemar, the pasuk says, Vayhi balailahu, Vayomer loy Hashem, Kach espar hashor asher lovicho, Upar Hasheni Sheva Shonim. The Rashi says Upar Ben Sheva Shonim. Shepitmuhu Sheva Shonim. It was fattened up for 7 years. Almo Hochi Ur Chayu Lemevad. It shows you then that is the way for something to be designated for a sacrifice, namely being set aside for 7 years. The Gemara asks, "V'hasam muktze b'lechud havi nevad nami havi." The pasuk that was just cited from Sefer Shoftim, from the Book of Judges, that wasn't an example of something that was set aside merely as a sacrifice to an idol. It was set aside as something to be worshipped. That is a different story. Omar Rav Acha Bar Yankov, Muktze la'avoid velo avduhu. No, it was set aside to be worshipped, but it wasn't actually worshipped. So as far as we are concerned, it was something set aside for idolatrous purposes. Rava Omar li olam avduhu. Really, it was worshipped. However, from that pasuk, I am not going to learn the chidush hu. And Rashi says, "Lolam avdu elamayahu lo gamri midi." The chidush hu. From that pasuk, I really am not going to learn anything. So that, in effect, Rava is challenging Reish Lakish's halacha, and I says saying that I can't learn from that. And how do I see that that pasuk is something I cannot learn from? Kidur of Abba Bar Kahana. The Yomar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Shmoyne Dvorim Hetiru Ba'oisa Laila. The pasuk that was featured in Shoftim, Vayhi Balaila Hu, where Hashem appears and says, take that animal and offer it as a sacrifice. You see things that are very uncharacteristic of sacrifices that were taking place. 8 things were allowed that ordinarily would not be allowed. And what are they? Chutz, that means something being slaughtered outside the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, Shechitas Chutz. The Laila, something offered at night, which is not generally allowed. The Zorus, a non-Kohen officiating. Ukli Shores, meaning there was no insistence on having actual service vessels. We're at the very top of Daf Chof Tes Amud Aleph. Ukli Ashera. Ashera is a tree that's served as an idol. Rashi at the top says, Ukli Ashera Shehikriv Bikli Ashera Ba'oisu Shehoya Mishamesh LaShera Shimesh LaShem. Those vessels that were used to serve an Ashera idol were used in this sacrificial offering to Hashem. The Atse Ashera is a 6th example of something odd. The fuel used to fire up this particular offering was wood from the Ashera tree. Umukze, something set aside for an idol. Vinevan, and something that was worshipped. As the Gemara goes on, we are going to be asking, from where do I know that mukze is something that is forbidden to be offered as a sacrifice? Mirza Shem, next time we will be picking up with that, but we should just read a Rashi before we go on with the Gemara in anticipation of our next shiur. Rashi, third line from the top, says, Minayin lemuktzeh min haTorah kol saka daitoch. The understanding right now is the Hochikomer, Minayin shechayev odom lahaktzeis korbonu l'shamayim velo yakrivenu miyad kishigdisho. This is a Havamina, which will be then re-explained later, but the understanding right now is, from where will I know that one has to set aside something as a sacrifice before, and not offered immediately upon sanctification, but there has to be a setting aside. Anyway, that point will be under discussion, Mirtz Hashem, when we pick up with this sugya next time. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.